Once upon a time, you always know it's going to be a great story when it starts that way, right? Once upon a time, there was a man who was a master with his hands and tools, an engineer and a designer, worlds above any other. And he designed the most magnificent carousel you would have ever laid your eyes upon. When it was unplugged and powered off, it looked just like an ordinary carousel filled with different colored ceramic horses. But when you plugged it in and it powered on, wow, it was as if the horses came alive. The horses were amazing. They had fantasy horses on this carousel, unicorns and Pegasus. Pegasus such that the wings would actually flap elegantly. And you could see the individual feathers on these horses' wings move. They had Western horses as part of this carousel. And they didn't just go up and down. No, they cut and they dug side to side as if you were chasing a member of the James Gang down an old dusty Western street. They had dainty horses, girly horses, where the manes and the tails were made of this super realistic hair, tied up in beautiful bows, some curled, some braided, and a decorated pillow top saddle. They had medieval horses, and that when that carousel would start up, they would rear back on their hind legs as if they would, and then they would lunge forward as if they were being involved in an ancient joust. Sparkling armor would cover these horses, and you could hear the chains of the armor rattle as they galloped. And as the carousel would go around, the wind would blow the feathery plume at the top of their helmet. It had race horses, reminiscent of derby winners. And these horses, when the carousel would start up, these horses would burst into a gallop with ears feathered back and their head moving rhythmically and their eyes intensely fixed forward. And you could see every muscle in that horse's body tighten and release with perfect precision. It was a magnificent carousel. James says in James chapter 2, verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." We have some losses in our bulletin today. If you have ever experienced the loss of a friend or a loved one, you've probably heard the words in reference to the body that is there. They'll say, "They're not there. That's just the body. They're not there." Because the body without the spirit is just a shell. It's just a body. It's not alive anymore. So we can come to the conclusion that the body needs the spirit to be alive. Now, James is using this phrase to illustrate the relationship between faith and deeds, that faith without deeds or faith without works is dead. But we're just going to take the truth of James's observation and just look at that very first statement there. That the body without the spirit is dead. We can all agree that certainly applies to a human life. That the body without the spirit is dead. But also, it is true of the body of Christ. Is it not? The church. The church without the Holy Spirit is dead. That the body, capital B, without the spirit, capital S, is dead. Let's write that down. The body without the spirit is dead. Capital B, capital S. We are the body of Christ. The church is the body of the Christ. Without the Holy Spirit present and active in the church, then we're nothing but a shell, a lifeless body. Just as a human body without the spirit is dead, so the body of Christ without the Holy Spirit is dead. Church, we are that carousel When we are unplugged and powered off, then we're just simple horses. Ordinary, normal, average horses. But when we are plugged in and we are powered up, powered on, wow, the church comes alive. And all of these different parts of the church become active. They're in motion, they're beautiful, they're impressive, they're significant. And this happens because the gifts that God gives his people are displayed in a magnificent manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Everyone say everyone.
Everyone.
Sounds weird coming out of my mouth, written it. Everyone, say everyone. Everyone. Okay, so take note of that for a moment. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's write this down. The Holy Spirit reveals himself through different gifts in different people. Holy Spirit reveals himself through different gifts in different people. He manifests himself. I've shared with you how much I love that word in this passage of Scripture. It's a fun word. It says a lot. He manifests himself through these grace-given gifts, these gifts given in grace. We didn't earn these gifts, nor did we get to choose what gift or gifts we were given. The Spirit spoke through Paul and says that everyone, that each of us have been given a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit. We are assured that God gives us spiritual gifts, at least a gift, if not more than one, to each and every one of his members of his kingdom. And we're told that this is how God shows himself through the church, that each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. These gifts are only present in Christians. How do I know that? Because these gifts are from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit only resides in Christians. Each gift is given, and that gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, there's nothing to empower that. But because each of us have God's Spirit, we are assured that each of us have been given a gift. As God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. These are supernatural abilities. Abilities that you would not have on your own. They are abilities that reveal God because his presence is the only source for these gifts. Just like the carousel illustration, unplugged, we're just regular horses. But plugged in and powered on, then you get to see something magnificent, crafted and designed by a master architect and designer and engineer. These are called grace-given gifts, the translation of a word in the Greek that is charisma. That's the Greek word that is used in the various places that these gifts are spoken of in Scripture. I've used this word numerous times, but just to bring your focus to it, they are gifts. You don't earn them. You don't earn a gift. A gift is given to you. You didn't do anything to deserve them. They are a gift from God. Grace-given gifts. However, we must be responsible for the gift or the gifts that we have been given. Sometimes when we don't earn something, we don't feel like it has value. This is quite the opposite. You didn't earn it, and it has unmeasurable value. It might be the idealist in me, but I would think that if we really understood, if we really took in the fact that these gifts are supernatural manifestations of God's Spirit, then we might be more responsible with them if we viewed them in that way. That if we really absorbed the honor that it is to be given our individual grace-given gifts from God Himself, then maybe we would prioritize using them in His kingdom more often. We talked about the Trinity on Easter Sunday. And in the passage we just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul mentions each part of these three forms of God as he starts to talk about spiritual gifts. Let's go back and read that and take a look at that. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, that's referring to the Son, Jesus. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God, of course, referring there to God the Father, who empowers them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So in addition to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are two other central places that talk about spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, so that makes it kind of easy. They're both chapter 12. And then Ephesians chapter 4. In Romans and Corinthians, Paul mentions God the Father's part as the planner and the organizer. That God so composed the body by giving these gifts, that's 1 Corinthians 12:24, that God assigned these gifts associated with our faith, that's Romans 12:3. In Ephesians 4, we read of Jesus' involvement, as Christ is credited as the giver of these gifts, and that these gifts were given to the church, and that the gifts that were given, then the people with the gifts were gifts to the church. Did you follow that? They're gifts. It's like gift squared. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what we just read and what we'll continue reading in a moment is that the gift is given through the Spirit. The gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. These gifts, they are a manifestation of the Spirit. They are given through the Spirit. They are given by the Spirit. And the Spirit empowers these gifts as He gives as He wills. So we continue there, picking back up on verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone say common good. For to one is given through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Let's write this down. God, in all three forms, decides who gets what gifts. God, in all three forms, decides who gets what gifts. Now, let me be clear. One form of God has just as much authority as another form of God. We shouldn't be concerned with which form is involved because every form is God. But I can't help but perk up a little bit when I reflect on the fact that all three forms of God are very specifically included and shown in their involvement in the giving of these gifts. It seems that there's an intentional emphasis placed on this by God in His Word. That the design and implementation involves all three forms of the Trinity. With that realization, maybe cause us to put a little more value on how we view these gifts that we've been given, these supernatural gifts, these grace-given gifts that we didn't do anything to earn, that they were given by God with the purpose of using them in His church. As James says, the body without the spirit is dead. So the church needs the manifestation of the spirit to be alive. These gifts must be active. We just read in 1 Corinthians 12 that these gifts were given for the common good. So let's write this down. Our individual gifts are good for the entire church, for the common good. They are good for the entire church. Let me remind you of who was in charge of choosing your gift. I'll give you a hint. It was not you. You didn't pick from a list in a shopping cart. You didn't go online and click through and view page after page of gifts and click one and say, ooh, that's the one I want. No, God specifically chose your gift for you by his design, by and for his plan. He gave you your gift in order to contribute to the common good of the entire church. You have a part to play, and that's a big deal. As individuals, we are given a collective purpose to work together for the common good of the entire church. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 4, one of the other places where the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. We'll read what the Spirit says to the church in Ephesus. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We skip down to verse 11. It says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So write this down. Our individual parts build up the entire body. Our individual parts, all these different parts of the body, all these magnificent horses on this magnificent carousel work together to build up the entire body. So these three main passages where spiritual gifts are found, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. We've read from 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, so guess where we're going next? Romans chapter 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So just write this down. Our individual purpose is found in the united and growing body. We have different functions, but one body. The body of Christ. We're members of his body, but because we're all members of the same body, we're also members to each other. If you caught that as we were reading what the Spirit was speaking through Paul to the church in Rome that was spoken to us today, the Bible's pretty awesome, isn't it? That we belong to each other. We are members of one another. Our gifts differ, but the purpose is to work together. And as we find our purpose, our individual purpose, we find the significance. Our individual purpose is recognized as we see how our grace-given gift or gifts fits with all of the other grace-given gifts. As the Spirit manifests himself through us as individuals, but even greater through us as a church. And you won't get that watching church, sitting in your PJs on a Sunday morning in front of a screen, will you? No. No, and the church won't get your unique variety of the Spirit's manifestation if you aren't here. Now, it's easy for us to sit here and agree with that and say amen, because we're here. We're not on the couch in our PJs. But really, any of us who are here, who are not using our spiritual gift, the manifestation of the Spirit, then aren't we just as useful as the person sitting on the couch in their PJs? We're here, we'll get the encouragement and the support from being church and the corporate worship, but it seems like the spiritual gift idea is a big deal to God. That we would find our individual purpose by being involved, by finding out what our spiritual gift is and using it. Because if we're not, we're not the beautiful part of this God-designed carousel that God purposed you for. You're just an ordinary horse. And when that's the case, there is this U-shaped hole in the church. But it's not just U-shaped. It's a hole where the Spirit would be manifesting through you to present Christ to the church and to the world. And so the church is missing out on God's revealing gift that you're sitting on, that you're not using. So we continue in 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Let's write this down. Your spiritual gift or your spiritual gifts, your spiritual gift is or your spiritual gifts are needed for the body to be healthy and whole. That's the way God designed it, for us to come together and to gather together and be all these unique parts, supernaturally gifted. The body is one with many members, many parts, and all of those parts work together for the common good. We all belong to Him, and we all also belong to each other. And each of us contribute to the health and the wholeness of the whole church. We contribute to the health and the wholeness of each other. And that's by God's design, God's wonderful and beautiful design of His church. So write this down. We have all been invited and empowered to fill a specific part of God's work. We have all been invited and empowered to fill a specific part of God's work. We each have a different task to accomplish, and we've been gifted accordingly. And as we allow the Spirit Himself to show through our gifts, then the church will look more like Christ, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And that's the goal, isn't it? For us as individuals to look like a bunch of little Jesuses, so that the whole church would grow up under Him who is the head, so that the body would match the head. So it wouldn't be a bobblehead, big head, wimpy body, but that the body would grow up to match the head, that the body would look like Jesus. That is our goal, church. Not to look like you, but to look like Jesus in you, and you're part of the body, so the body looks like Christ. That's the goal. If we all would do our parts, then we would see the church look more and more like Christ. And how badly does the world need to see a visible Christ in our current day and age? We have a responsibility. Our gifts are good for the entire church. Our individual gifts are good for the entire church. Our individual parts build up the entire body. Our individual purpose is found in the united and growing church. Your spiritual gift is, or your spiritual gifts are, needed for the body to be healthy and whole. We have all been invited and empowered to fill a specific part of God's work. As we continue reading back in Ephesians 4, he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body needs each part. Let's write that down. The body needs each part. You are necessary. Your part is missed when you aren't your part. The church needs your part. We are incomplete without your part. We don't show Christ as clearly without you as we would with you. The body needs each part. Each part is needed. You have a place here. God has made it so. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to belong. Let's write that down. I find my place to belong by finding out what gift or gifts God has given me. But it's not just enough to find your gift. We have to be responsible with our gift. We have to use our gift, hone our gift, work with your gift, work with the Spirit with your gift. You know, some people go to church their whole life and they never feel like they belong to the church. They never feel like they belong to the body. And I have to ask, if you feel that way, have you put your gift into practice? It's just simple deduction from God's truth. Because if you aren't being your part, then it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't feel like you belong. Because you're not being your part. If my hands were not connected to my wrists and they were sitting there in the front pew, and the rest of my body were up here doing God's work, then it would make perfect sense that my hands would feel like they did not belong because they weren't doing anything. They weren't where they should be. If your hands get attached, if your feet get attached, if your eyes, your belly button, and you will feel that feeling of belonging that we all search for, and I believe that's part of God's blueprint inside of us to find our spot in the church. So write this down. I find significance and fulfillment when I am a functioning part of the body. Significance is a powerful word. People that feel significant, they will act differently. They will speak differently. They will have a different attitude. They will have confidence. They are quite different than people who feel insignificant. We find significance and fulfillment when we find our functioning part in the body. Like to ask for four agile helpers real quick. Yes, sir, come on up. Yep, awesome. And then divide each of those in half. Let me have two of you start here and two of you start from the back and just pass those out among the rows. So take half of them and give them to Ben here, and you guys can go to the back. Oh, okay. She can go to the back. So you guys cover this side, front and back. One of you start at the back, one of you start at the front. I didn't want to give this to you at the beginning because I figured you would all be looking at it and reading it, and that just, it's human nature. You're curious. So we'll take just a moment and pass some things out here. What this is a list of commonly listed spiritual gifts in the Bible that are accepted as current spiritual gifts in the church. I don't have time to get into that whole topic, but I don't believe that spiritual gifts are limited to just those listed in Scripture, but those listed in Scripture are a good guide of the gifts that the Spirit gives to the church, that God gives, that Christ gives, all three forms involved. So the top one there, number one, administration, leadership, ruling, those are sometimes two different gifts or three different gifts even. Traits, so if you're looking at that and you're saying, well, I don't know if that's me or not. Well, you can evaluate, if you can evaluate what needs to be done and organize a team by delegating responsibilities out to team members, then you might have one of those gifts. If you like to keep everyone together, working on track towards a single goal, you might have one of those gifts. And then what you have is some of our ministries there and some possible ways that those gifts might be used in those ministries. We're not going to go through every one of those. We would be here for a while. But an obvious use of this gift would be a position of leadership in a ministry team or even a member of the elders. Event coordinators in various ministries would be a very good use for this gift. Every ministry in the church needs some sort of a coordinator at one point or another for children's events, youth events, outreach events, men's and women's ministry events, all sorts of different things. A mission trip leader, that takes these skills to put that together. Or you could partner with another leader and help to divvy up the administrative work there. For instance, Sherry and the Karen Share and the Angel Tree Ministry. If she had another leader that had administrative skills come alongside of her, and she could help split some of those administrative skills up, that would be wonderful. What? Discernment, wisdom. Two separate gifts, but I combine them because their uses can be similar in the church. So discernment could be if you have traits that you can see through the confusion to a clear-cut solution, or you like to ask questions and listen first and then give advice. You might seem to be a bit on the serious side if you have the gift of discernment. So those with the gift of wisdom, you might find others coming to you for advice, that they would seek you out on a regular basis, that you find it easy to bridge knowledge and practical application. And your answers and solutions seem to be correct a good deal of the time, then you might have the gift of wisdom. So, of course, there are, in addition to the leadership and administrative, those would also cater to leadership roles in the church, team ministry leader, or once again, eldership material. Something you might not think about would be the security and safety team member. That takes wisdom, that takes discernment to be a part of that team. That's an important gift to be a part of that team. Or something that you might not think about, child check-in. We haven't started that. We haven't had as strong of an interest in that, but we've agreed that it's an important thing to have safety in our check-in downstairs. You have the gift of wisdom or the gift of discernment. That might be a simple place to be able to serve and fill a spot that could be used. Evangelism. If you have the gift of evangelism, you might have the traits of having a strong concern for those who don't yet know Christ. If you find that your conversations with others tend to turn toward eternal thoughts and values, if you find it easy to share Christ and what Christ has done with you to others, or done for you, with you, for others. So a great spot there would be a youth sponsor, helping out with the teens. As that is, there's a lot of open doors there, as kids will bring their friends, teens will bring their friends. One you might not think about would be the publicity team. Well, that's not actively evangelizing. No, but the idea of the publicity team and anything that we put forward is to introduce Christ to people, to help to bridge that gap. So the publicity team, if you have the gift of evangelism, might not be a bad place for you. The prayer ministry team, once again, evangelism doesn't always have to be, you know, if you're an introverted person with the gift of evangelism, the prayer ministry team, one of their goals was to be able to pray during the service for the things going on in the service that people would connect with God. Some of that connection with God would be evangelism. So if you have the gift for evangelism, the prayer ministry team might be a good place for you. Another place you might not think about would be using your gift as a musician or a singer, because you're adding to the experience of being able to connect with God through worship, and that experience is evangelical, connecting with God. Exhortation or encouragement. If you truly value people and want to help them find more value in their life, or you enjoy improving others' lives and helping them to take the steps of growth, or you are generally found to be friendly, understanding, and practical. Once again, these are two gifts that I've kind of put together to keep things moving today. Another area that you could see that in is, once again, as a worship singer or an instrumentalist up here. That is a good place for that, to be an encouraging presence on a Sunday morning. Encouraging children's workers. Maybe you don't like to work with children, but you're very glad that we have a children's ministry. That would be a few of you. Then if you have the gift of encouragement, you can encourage those who are already working with children. And I tell you what, that will help them to do their part in the body better. They'll be more encouraged to do that. To be a greeter on a Sunday morning. We want our greeters to have an encouraging face, an inviting face, a welcoming face. So if you're an encourager, that would be a great place for you at our doors on a Sunday morning. And really, any group outing or any group gathering is a great place for encouragers. So I'm not saying you have to attend everything that we do here as a church. But if we're going out putt-putting in May, that's June now. We moved it to June 1st. So when we go putt-putting, if you're an encourager and you're there, then you're going to be able to make connections with people. And there might be some guests there that don't yet come to church. And your friendly face, your encouragement, your gift might be a bridge that helps to bring them to our church and hopefully to introduce them to Christ. The gift of faith. If you have the ability to trust God, even in the most difficult of situations, if you have an unmovable belief and trust in God, if you find yourself challenging others to deepen their trust in God and step out in faith, then you might have the gift of faith. Some highlighted uses. Be maybe a mission trip leader. Once again, that takes the gift of administration and leading, but there's also a lot of faith put in putting together a trip like that and in leading a trip, because you never know what's going to happen on one of those trips. And so if the leader has faith, that's a valuable thing to be able to help guide a group through whatever curveballs might happen. That could also not just be leaders, but those going, having the gift of faith, but also those praying from home, the prayer warriors from home praying for those who are on a mission trip. Once again, the prayer team ministry is connected to that as well. You want your prayer team members to have strong faith so that when they pray, it's a prayer in faith. If you have the gift of faith, you're spiritually imbued to have faith. Something like a communion meditation or home communion. From someone who has the gift of faith, they can bring an angle to a meditation that someone with a different gift wouldn't be able to bring. If you have the gift of giving, that you're concerned with how finances are used to benefit others, that you have the gift of getting that allows you to have more resources to give more. If you have a strong desire to handle money wisely, then you might have the gift of giving. There are numerous places for this gift in church. We are doing the potato and taco bar for the youth. That is an example of where you can help youth to go on events and help them to go on these CIY, a youth camp that has proven year after year after year to be an instrument of drawing teens and youth closer to God. They come back every year with a better relationship with God. So that's an investment, and your gift of giving can be used there. We talked about mission trips. Some people are willing to go on a mission trip. They have the faith to go on a mission trip. They have the skills to go on a mission trip, but they don't have the finances to go on a mission trip. You can help sponsor someone to go on a mission trip. Something you might not think about. Down the hall here, we've seen just recently a number of baptisms from the martial arts ministry. There are students that come into martial arts ministry, and they come to ours because we don't charge for classes, but we do have to charge for uniforms. We have to charge for tests. We have to charge some other things that cost us money so that the ministry doesn't, you know, go in the red and stay in the red. And so it might be something where you want to sponsor some of the students there. Maybe they have a uniform. Maybe they're all right with doing tests. Maybe they can't afford to go to a tournament. And you'd like to say, hey, I want to sponsor some Taekwondo students to go to a tournament so they can experience that part of that ministry. Hospitality, the gift of hospitality. If you have the ability to make guests and strangers feel at ease and welcome, if you often use your home to entertain guests, if you are concerned with how presentable your home or how presentable the church looks, then you might have the gift of hospitality. An obvious use of this would be at our doors as a greeter. Not only someone with the gift of encouragement, but even more so the gift of hospitality. Greeting someone, that's a sure place for your gift. Another area you might not think about, and I try to look at extroverts and introverts. Maybe you're an introvert with a gift of hospitality. What about those rear flower beds? You know, making those look beautiful because you know that's going to matter. Or a member of the decorating team. Another one you might not think about is the car show concessions. Working the register. We try to, when we give them change, when we give them change, we will give them a card and we will invite them to church. Some people don't feel comfortable doing that, and that's okay. You don't need to work the register if you don't feel comfortable doing that. That's part of that ministry. And if you have the gift of hospitality, then that's a great place for you to be able to offer someone an invite, a warm invite, because that's your spiritual gift. If you have the gift of knowledge, prophecy, or teaching, these are individual separate gifts. And the gift of prophecy, sometimes we hear that and we think, what? That's Old Testament. The gift of prophecy in the New Testament is different than the Old Testament. So let me give you just one trait per gift there to kind of get an idea of what each of them are. Knowledge. If you get instant and specific information that you would have no other way than knowing other than from God, and that can be from reading a scripture, something from the Holy Spirit speaking to you, that's the gift of knowledge. The gift of prophecy, if you have the ability to receive specific truth from God's word, and you don't have a problem sharing God's truth boldly, then you might have the gift of prophecy. So the gift of prophecy is not a thus saith the Lord in the church, in the new covenant. It's a thus saith the Lord in his word. And I'm willing to boldly share what God has laid on my heart about his word, whatnot. Teaching, which is understanding and explaining God's word. If that comes easy to you, then you might have the gift of teaching. The church is full of teaching opportunities listed there for you. Children, youth, small groups, Sunday schools. Once again, communion meditation or home communion might be a good fit for one of those gifts. Mercy and pastoral care and shepherding. The traits of mercy is that you hate to see others suffer and you would like to help relieve their pain. You want to be there for the hurting. You sympathize and empathize with ease. The pastoral care or shepherding gift is that you desire team participation and harmony. You are concerned about the physical and spiritual well-beings of a person. You want to see everyone connected and actively a part of the body. Once again, youth ministry could use sponsors who are an accepting person and a listening ear. Teens are going through all sorts of stuff. We went through all sorts of stuff when we were teens, and we all know that it just seems every generation has more and more struggles. And if you have the gift of shepherding or this gift of pastoral care or mercy, then being an ear for a youth is a valuable, valuable use of your gift. Visiting those who are in the hospital or those who have come home from the hospital, or visiting someone who is confined to their home, also known as a shut-in, would be good uses of this gift. Outreach ministries like the Christmas Care and Share ministry, to be involved in that with the gift of mercy, the gift of pastoring or shepherding. Or we have a new ministry we're trying to get started, the career development ministry, to be able to help people to further their careers or better their careers, to be able to find a job, to learn how to interview, to learn how to put together a resume. And if you have compassion and that's a natural spiritual gift for you, then that would be a good area for you. Service and helps. The traits are that you would rather work behind the scenes and avoid receiving any credit for the service you do. If you live to help others, if you find yourself doing what no one else likes to do, if you're flexible and adapt well to challenges, then you might have the gift of service or helps. And pretty much any ministry in the church can benefit from this gift. Maybe you don't have the gift to teach. You can be a teacher's helper. And that helps the teacher to be better at what they do. Pastoral care has multiple areas. Maybe you want to support the bereavement meals, but you really don't get into cooking. That's not your thing. They need people to set up tables and chairs. That's something that's not seen a lot, but it's a necessary part of that ministry. They need tables and chairs set up to have a meal. Someone has to do that. If you have the gift of service and helping, and that's a ministry that's close to your heart, that's something you can do. You don't have to bring food to serve food. Am I right, bereavement people? Okay? You're not required to bring food to serve it. If you want to come and just serve the food, you can help that way. Clean up the kitchen after it's over. The worship team needs many behind-the-scenes workers. We have PowerPoint and sound. We have communion setup and cleanup. So those are a list of spiritual gifts and some traits that go along with them. And sometimes that's enough to say, okay, I feel like I kind of lean this way. And let me encourage you to just get involved. And when you get involved, I mean, I played in a Christian rock band for however many years it was. And I didn't, my gift of teaching evolved through that. I had a natural gift in music, but through that I discovered a spiritual gift in teaching. And so get involved in ministry and you might see your spiritual gift emerge. You might not see it right away. Another tool that can be used for finding your spiritual gift, and at the top of that big bright green sheet you have, I've got some addresses on the internet that you can go to, and you can take some spiritual gift tests on the internet. They take some time, so you know, be ready to sit down. And I took all of these, and I took a few others to test them out for you. So I gave some for you on that. So I took some for the team. So if you go to, I don't remember which one this one is. I can't see it from here. But the first one is this one over here. And I actually ranked number one was prophecy. So it kind of fits. And when I first saw that, I was like, what? So I did some digging into what that means now. And one of the things too is that with these different tests, they have different definitions a little bit, slightly different. So it doesn't hurt to take a couple tests and see where they are. This was the second one that's listed in your bulletin. The second one over that's gifts, what the churchgrowth.org. And so then there is a third one that is a printout. So this one, you go to a PDF and the address, I think I gave to you. I don't know why it says women's spiritual gift. Nothing on that page talks about, so the address is a little deceptive because nothing on that, everything on that page is just about spiritual gifts in general. I don't even think the word woman or female or chick or or whatever, I don't think any of that appears on that page. So, but that's a great one, but it takes a little extra time because you're writing things down. Okay, so here's mine. And so there's multiple pages if we go to the next one. And you can see, wow, divide, all these questions. And then you have to write them down and add them all up. But you get some numbers here. And once again, we see it's very consistent as we move on to the next one. Very consistent with the other ones, with knowledge and evangelism actually being the top on that one. But teaching being in there as well, which also matched up with the other two. So we can pull that off the screen and go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to close with this passage of scripture here. As each has received a gift, use it. Use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's write this down. God expects each of us to understand our part and fill our part. As each has received a gift, use it. Be a good steward of God's varied grace. We have been empowered to belong. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for your Spirit and all that he brings into our life. As we are reflecting on these grace-given gifts that you have given to us, that you have purposed us for in your church. Father, I pray that we would be responsible, that we would be good stewards of them, that we would use the gifts that you've given us to serve each other, to be Jesus, so that the church would look more like your Son, so that your Holy Spirit would manifest through these gifts. Father, I think I speak for us all when I humbly come before you and ask your forgiveness for our negligence at times and in periods and patches of our life, when we don't foster these gifts, when we don't put them into use, and your church is missing out because we're not doing our part. Father, we ask your forgiveness. And we humbly say we're sorry as a group. Father, I pray that you would bring boldness to your people, that you would give them a curiosity to find and use the gift you've given them, that our church may be built up to look more and more like Christ, that we would be healthy and whole because our members are responsible, and we're good stewards of your gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.